Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to have church tonight. And tonight, this speaker is Reverend Ruben Chester.
Front page issue. So, you know, it's
It's one of those things where, hey, poor folks, I always pray on other poor folks. So I was waiting for this other brother to call in. I'm going to give him a little bit of time while I play something else right fast. It's real disturbing. I saw some articles, though, before I get to that. I saw some articles from other newspapers, some online stuff, but TV media, it really isn't covering it every day. They cover a lot of bullshit every day. Not something that's dealing with reality, just more fantasy shit. So before I get into that, because I want to have a good discussion with this brother, with a couple of brothers supposed to call in, so let me give him a little bit of time and run this one for you. Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. I was reading something that this even adds to more reasons why we need to deal with nationhood and nation building. I think that the biggest reason why we have a lot of murders, a lot of crime and unemployment and lack of education. And we need to go ahead and fund our own educational system. There's no one better that can educate your kids better than you. You got a purpose and a goal. You need to go ahead and see, show that your kids got value. And the black life don't seem to mean nothing in the black community, not even with the other black folks. That's fucking disturbing. But you'll go out your way to go ahead and help others, support others, and then pretty much turn your back on what's going on around you. Find what's going on around you. Go ahead and put together something. It don't take much. But stop feeding into this idea that, you know, this notion that, hey, black folks don't care and they can't get along and all this other stuff. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Black people go ahead and have almost the same amount of crimes and violence toward each other, just like white folks do. I think white folks have a little bit more, but black folks' issues are put under the microscope. And then they're going to get blown up, blown out of proportion. There's a reason and a purpose for that. The reason why you need to educate your kids, educate your people. Talk to your people. Summer may be over, and some of the kids may be back in school. But summer-like weather continues in Chicago, and so does the violence. This past weekend saw four dead and 18 wounded and four killed. Two shot, one stabbed, and another one beaten to death. You know, it just continues. And I've been very, very critical of this whole thing when you look at it on the national level and how they want to go to Syria, spend more money. They don't want to go ahead and give us our money back. Don't want to go ahead. They want to keep taking your money. And one problem I got is you got to quit calling yourself an American first. Use that to get your ass out of trouble when you're out of the country. But you got to quit calling yourself that because that black folks ain't Americans. Not in this country. I hope you understand why I say that. I don't want to get into that right now. But you're not. You were never meant to be a part of this country. Right now you're here just to go ahead and be the ultimate consumer of the goods and things these people put out. Not to have your own businesses, industry, nothing to support you and your family. People like you. So I'm going to break those numbers down, what I was just talking about. 17 males. Out of the 20 shootings, there were 17 males, 3 females. The average age was 25. 3 incidents with 2 shot. 11 hit in the head or torso. 6 in critical condition. 2 of those 20 shootings involved the police. 10% was shoot to kill ratios. 12 in the neighborhoods. 4 shot. This is 4 shot on Team Woodlawn and 4 shot. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm reading something right now. But the point is this. That age group, 25 years, you know, that's a real average 25 years. Most of the males being shot. Most of the young warriors being shot in the neighborhood. Throughout the city, I'll say. That's your protection right there. Oh, and females being shot, you know, that's real sad. Those are the ones go ahead and bring the babies. too many guns running around Chicago. And right now, they want to make it legal in Chicago. So you can go ahead and carry a weapon into bars. Now, how ridiculous is that? I ain't understand that for the life of me. You already got a problem with guns here, so you're going to go ahead and add alcohol to the equation to make it even worse. How does that make sense? You got a lot of hotheads here. You know, that don't make no sense. These people want to make money so bad they don't give a damn about who's involved and who's it destroying, who's it hurting. It's sad. It's real sad. And it just seems to get a hell of a lot worse by every day, each day that goes by. But nobody's confronting some of these real issues. I always say people more involved dealing with fantasy and materialism. Keep on saying that. Pound that in your head. These things, stop dealing with things that are not real. Deal with what's real. Here's another clip. Hope you're enjoying my show. Peace.
In this room, I know everyone here today cares deeply about racial justice and the fate of people of color in the United States. There are many people in this room who are today mourning the loss of loved ones to the prison system. There are people here who have recently been released from prison, struggling to find jobs, find a place to sleep, find a way to feed themselves. There are people in this room who have lost loved ones to violence. Police violence and the violence is going on in our neighborhoods and our communities today. Violence that is the direct and predictable result of this new system of control. And I know there are many people in this room, advocates, who have been struggling, often at great sacrifice, to reform our criminal justice system, provide meaningful educational opportunities for our youth, and mentoring and efforts to rebuild our community. So this book is for you. It's not for the so-called mainstream white swing voter. It's not for those who don't yet care about racial justice. It's for those of us who care enough to make a difference for our loved ones, for our children, our children's children. And it's written for all those who have known or suspected that much more is going on in our communities than meets the eye. Have been operating to ensure that people of color remain locked in a permanent second-class status for life. Your suspicions are right. Now, many people today don't want to hear this message. You know, conversations and debates about race, much less racial caste, you know, are treated like, you know, yesterday's news. You know, political commentators, media pundits, you know, say we've entered into this era of post-racialism. You know, people in the United States and around the world have treated the election of Barack Obama as proof that we have put the final nail in the Jim Crow, that racial caste is part of our nation's history, but not our present. Well, this book challenges that racial narrative. Racial caste is not dead. It is alive and well in America. The systematic mass incarceration of poor people of color in the United States amounts to a new caste system, one that is specifically tailored to the political, social, and economic circumstances of America. It is the moral equivalent of Jim Crow. Now, many people, you know, find this claim hard to swallow, particularly those who have never spent time in prison or have been labeled a felon. You know, they say that's absurd. That's absurd. And I myself rejected this idea more than 10 years ago, a fact I now regret. You know, I describe in the introduction to my book that I first encountered the idea that something akin to a racial caste system operating in the United States you know, more than a decade ago when I was rushing to catch the bus and this bright orange poster caught my eye. It was stapled to a telephone pole. And on it, in large bold print, it read, "The Drug War is the New Jim Crow." And it had been posted by a radical group that was organizing the new three strikes law that had been passed in California, the expansion of the prison system, police brutality. And it was being held, the meeting was being held at a small community church. And I remember thinking to myself, the criminal justice system is racist in a lot of ways, but it doesn't help to make such absurd comparisons. People just think you're crazy. And then I crossed the street, ran, hopped on the bus.
Oh, welcome back. That was quicker than I thought. But yeah, that's making my point. One of the reasons that we have so many problems is that there's a new Jim Crow. The drug game is the new Jim Crow. And I feel that a lot of people who will go ahead and involved in it, working with the government. It's a lot of individuals that's involved with it, and they're working, they're volunteering to go ahead and help destroy more young minds. And the thing that really killed me is I was talking to some young people, and they were talking about a bunch of snitches in the neighborhood. And it's just really sad that you got a lot of people who are like that, too. They're not willing to go ahead and work together. They don't see no point in it. They don't see no point in going here and dealing with this. It's them people. They just want to make a buck. We've become so money hungry, so materialistic, that you want to turn in your family instead of trying to correct them with their problems. Now, I don't go ahead and condone a whole lot of that stuff, people going ahead and doing things. I played that earlier song, but, the thing that, in defense of that song, is I never seen anybody go ahead and overdose off marijuana. So it's a sad thing. I think that brother's about to come on, so let me play another song real quick. Because I'm just stalling for time. I love to have a conversation with people. That Lion Rule. Oh, yeah, some Ice Cube.
Man, fuck that shit, man. You need to take your ass to school, get your motherfucking job,
man,
and shit.
Fuck that, man. Fuck you, man. Look here. When I get 14, man, I want to buy me a ragtop tray on some gold Dana's with a three-wheel motion, Kenwood put out, three-finger rings, fat-ass link, and a big booty bitch to go with.
Break them off, son.
It's really a shame. Young brothers and sisters today have a lack of understanding of what it really means to be black.
Could you tell me who unleashed our animal instincts? And the white man sitting there tickle pink, laughing at us on the avenue, busting cops at each other after having brew. We can't enjoy ourselves, too busy jealous at each other's wealth, becoming not just envy, but the black community is full of envy.
Oh shit!
Too much backstabbing. While I look out the window, I see all the Japs grabbing every vacant lot in my neighborhood.
Yep.
Build a store and sell their goods to the county rush sips. You know us poor niggas, nappy hair and big lips.
That's
four or five babies on your crouch, and you expect Uncle Sam to help us out.
Jeez.
We ain't nothing but porch monkeys to the average bigot, redneck honky. Your time coming up is a month, but before we can come up, take a look at us.
Break them off some.
Y'all don't deal us. You as bad as the police, cause you kill us. You got touched when you started slanging dope, but you ain't built us a supermarket so we can spend our money with the blacks. Too busy buying golden Cadillacs. That's what you're doing with the money that you're raising, exploiting us like the Caucasians did. For 400 years I got 400 tears for 400 peers. Died last year from gang related crimes.
World of
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central.
A place where busting the gap is fundamental. No, you can't find this shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun. A nine in your ass will be fine. Keep it in your glove compartment, cause Jack and Lowe, they love to start shit. Now if you're white, you can trust the police. But if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And don't get smart. Answer all questions. And that's your first lesson on staying alive in South Central Kid. That's how you survive.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. Are you enjoying your stay in South Central Los Angeles? Or is somebody taking your thing? Have you witnessed a drive-by? Make sure you have your camcorder ready to witness the extracurricular activities on Black by the Police. So you and your family can enjoy this tape over and over again.
Rule number two. Don't trust nobody, especially a bitch with a hook to the top. Cause it ain't nothing but a trap. And females will get the jacks and kidnapped. You'll wind up dead. Just to be safe, don't wear no blue or red. Cause most niggas get got. In neither L.A., Compton, or Scott. Pissed off black human beings. Start thinking about a skip to sightseeing. And if you're nothing but a mark, make sure that's in before dark. But if you need some affection, mate, make sure the bitch ain't a section 8, cause if so, that's a monkey wrench hole. And you won't survive in South Central.
Now you realize it's not always cracked up to be true. You realize that it's fucked up. I mean, nothing like the shit you saw on TV. Palm trees and palm bitches. So I advise you to pack your shit and get the fuck on. Yeah.
DJ Chili Chill, 13. Hey yo, Q, these motherfuckers don't know what time it is. So show these motherfuckers what's happening. Tell these motherfuckers, don't fuck around and start fishing. God damn it. Rule number three, don't get caught up. Cause niggas aren't doing anything not thought up. And they gotta fight on everything from dope to stolen merchandise. Read the germ. Cause South Central LA is one big germ. Wait for a brother like you to catch a disease. And start slanging keys to an undercover or the wrong brother. And they'll smother a out-of-town motherfucker. So don't take your life for granted. Cause it's the craziest place on the planet. And L.A. heroes don't fly through the sky storm. They live behind bars. So everybody's doing a little dirt. And it's the youngsters putting in the most work. So be alert, stay calm. As you enter the concrete Vietnam, you say the strong survive. Shit, the strong even die in South City.
Yeah, you bitches. You better watch out. And for you so-called crawler ass niggas, you know what time it is. Top Central ain't no joke. You better keep your gat all the time, motherfucker. You better keep one in the chain with nine in the group, goddammit. And you and yo get got just like that. This ain't no joke, motherfucker. I'm going to the top of the East Yard. The engineer is putting in 215.
This is Los Angeles.
All right, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. One of my buddies called. Kayla, how you doing?
What's going on, Chef Rob, man? I can't wait to come up to Chicago, as long as you can guarantee my safety, man. I'm going on a little mini tour in December, man, so you'll probably be one of the people I hit.
It'll be a lot safer then. You
Chicago.
Won't have as much.
Chicago, and I'm going to hit the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, you know, Chicago will be a lot safer when it's cold outside. You know, still problems, but it's a little bit
safer. Yeah, Negroes don't like the cold. I know that.
I can understand that.
Much as black people don't like the cold, why are we all that tells you how bad things were.
Yeah.
Negroes like the cold. But I can never understand why the heck are we in New York, you know? It's freezing cold weather. And also, you look at history, I can see why we came to New York. Things were just gritty in the South, you know? There was no hope. They were trying to put our black asses back in slavery.
You know? And that addresses the poverty thing. When they came north, that it was more poverty coming up here. You left.
Right.
But you got to go ahead and realize a lot of people were forced out of the South because of the Jim Crow.
They're almost like, no one ever says that. They call it the Great Migration, but it was actually a refugee crisis, you know?
Right.
We have to change the narrative. The narrative, the wording. See, they are good at sharpening wording to basically create a narrative, you know? I started saying, let's start calling them militant integration extremists, civil rights extremists, you know, radical black white, let's all get kumbaya people, radical kumbaya people, you know, and all these people that basically come at us, they make us seem like all of the nationals, like we're the extremists. They're the extremists. We're the pragmatists. We're pragmatists.
Look, man, hold on. Let me play something for you, that motivates me so you can get the show going right. I always got to play some of my Jesse Lee Peterson.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
I'm going to start posting that. I made a whole blog about that, man. It's called 1-800-RENT-A-COON, Christmas special with Jesse Lee Peterson. I have that up there in the clip, the video. And I'm going to put that on African blog sites and whatnot. All these Africans that come here and everything like that. Like, yo, this is what, you know, this is the extent of what we're dealing with right here in America. You know, this is how far gone some black people are in their mentality. Let me give you an example. It could be said now that Israel is a direct result of the Holocaust, right? Have you ever heard a Jew say, thank God for Hitler, because we wouldn't have the state of Israel?
No. That's a good way to put it.
Of course, Bob. What do you think I do for a living and a hobby? You know, I put scenarios together. And basically, you know, once you trap people like that, like a black achievement, like this, once you trap people like that, there's no escape. You know, there's no escape. There's no escape from that. Have you ever heard? Let me give you an example. The French Revolution, probably the most bloodiest revolution. The American Revolution wasn't a revolution. The French Revolution was a revolution. That was the most bloodiest episode. Probably the most bloodiest. Domestic disturbance in human history. But I don't hear in a lot of liberal laws you see in France right now where they guarantee everybody a job and they placate people and everything like that, a direct result from that time period. You know, France is for the French people, a very comfortable place, you know. But I don't hear anybody saying, thank God for the French Revolution, you know. Why? Because people try to put that behind, even though they know if it was not for the French overthrowing the aristocracy, they wouldn't have modern France like they have right now. We're the only people in the world that will take our pain and basically say, you know something, you know, and just basically people want us to forget it. Have you ever heard of somebody telling the United States, oh, go ahead and forget the Alamo? Have you ever heard anybody say forget the Alamo? No, of course not.
No, but you constantly hear, and we constantly hear people telling us that we should forgive and forget.
Every December 7th,
hold on, but they don't go ahead and tell you, they always tell us to forgive and forget, but they don't go ahead and deal with what the consequences, what happened later, what's the result of us going ahead and forgiving and forgetting. We still getting put behind. And you got too many of these individuals that's out here. And look, you got high unemployment. Almost no black businesses, almost no black industries. You got other people taking over industries that was pretty much, you know, like the whole healthcare industry. You know, that's something.
Yeah,
that
I remember the show I did about black funeral homes. That used to be a staple in Queens. Now, big businesses, mafia style businesses, have basically taken over the black funeral. They're burying us now. Before, the one thing even during slavery, we had was the right to bury ourselves. You know. And now they basically saw with insurance companies and everything that there's money in it, you know, and black people dying left and right. White people were making fortune off the funeral business, you know. There are no black funeral homes anymore.
There's a few in Chicago.
And not here in the South, man. You know, like I said, all across the country. As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised, my friend. You think they're black owned and whatnot, but it's like they said, they have a lot of fronts. People fronting like they're black owned. Because the people, they're really incorporated. They're like these black churches, you think they're independent, they're not. You know, they're given a charter by some main denomination and everything like that, and get started and everything, and they got to go out there and bring people in. And there's a whole hidden hand here of money being sucked out of black America. You know, they don't leave anything unturned without a fight. Anywhere black people can have money or wealth, they're going to find a way how to get it. You know, I mean, these people will put Tony Soprano to shame. You know, these people are coming to rob our community.
The thing with the black churches is that's been like that for a long time. And that was kind of no secret, but pushed under the rug and tried to go ahead.
These mega churches are run like McDonald's, a franchise. You know, they're like run like McDonald's franchise. They get, it's a business. They get TV time. Radio, I did my investigation. There's a whole thing going on. Because I got cousins of mine that run churches. You know, it's business. You know,
it's
four of my cousins that are pastors and whatnot, from here from New York to Florida and whatnot. And it's business. And they're hooked up with people that do telecommunication and whatnot. They get their access TV time and everything, radio slots and syndication. There's a whole big thing, big money. As long as you can draw audience, there's business. Church is business right now.
You know, and you see that video that's out. You know, with what's his name, Jay, with Snakes, and Tyler Perry. That whole thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a joke. You know, that's a shame and disgrace. As a person of the faith, you know, people don't believe this, but yeah, I do have a faith. You know, I'm first and foremost an African nationalist. But I am a Christian. If you're wrong, I have a religion. That's my religion. I was Islamic. I'm back to Christian. But I'm an African nationalist. When I look at the churches right now, man, I haven't been to church in years. Have not been to church in years. I refuse to support what I see as a blatant disrespect. You know, for I don't like if you believe one thing, you believe in your religion, practice it, and do right by it, live by it. But when I see you making lots of money, and not only that, look at T.D. Jakes. How you going to have people, if you say you believe in the Bible and everything, why is it you got so many single mothers in your church, unwed and with babies and everything? What the heck are you preaching?
But these guys, look, man, that was in order for them to be a church, they had to go ahead and get approval from the white churches. The main reason that they stayed as a church. You know, some of them knew it was money, but the only reason they stayed as a church because they knew that the whites was going to go ahead and allow them to go ahead and to re-educate black folks.
Right.
It was all from, and they made money, and later on it just straight.
The black churches, they got worse when black people were coming, like in after Reconstruction, right? We had like two choices. You know, we had two trains of thought in the black church. One was Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, right, the head of the AME Zion, the AME African Methodist Episcopal Church, the African Church, said, let's get the heck out of America. This will never be your land. The black man belongs in Africa, build a nation of your own. That's Henry McNeil Turner, right? Guess what? Just like Garvey, he died alone in poverty and miserable and bitter, you know, because the black pastors and everything. And this is what I was saying on the show last time. People had no idea, these people that practice immigration and everything like that, how vicious these people are. They did everything they could to destroy this man's reputation. They did everything they did to destroy Henry McNeil Turner. Why? Because they said, look, you know, we'll make it here in America or whatever like that. Don't fucking listen to him. He's a fool, you know, and all this stuff like that. Henry McNeil Turner said, no. The people are telling you that he would say Jesus is black, God is black, and he said the black God wants you to return to your land to your ancestors, you know. And that was the majority of black people in the country follow him. And between the black churches and the other denominations and everything, the sellout churches and everything, they basically went on these people are just so vicious in their relentless assault. And, but they're often portrayed in history as, oh, the Baptist pastor who led us to the civil rights movement. Some of these people are the most dangerous people you're ever going to meet in your life. You know, they will cut your throat. You talk about parting ways from the white man, they'll slit your throat in the middle of the night, man. You have absolutely no idea. These people.
Oh, I have an idea.
These people went, what they did to Garvey, man, it's like unbelievable. That's the only thing I do give the Nation of Islam. I do give the Nation of Islam one thing. You know, they were able to at least survive their onslaught, you know, because they had a different religion, Islam, you know. And they was able to counteract all that white supremacy stuff with what they termed as black supremacy. So in a way, it worked, but they just didn't have any overall plan.
I don't think there's a such thing as a black supremacy in America. Not at all.
Well, no, but what I'm saying, not black supremacy, but the black man is God, black, white man devil thing. You know?
Okay, well, you're trying to handle that thinking to go reform that thinking. I agree with that. But
but what I'm saying is,
if they've gotten to the point where, like modern day, they become Scientologists and a whole bunch of other
things. Oh, yeah, I mean, this is stupid. It's stupid. So the ideology of the Nation of Islam doesn't work in today's society, you know, the way we're like, we don't need all that. But at this time period, the only thing that could break the impasse of the whole that these white supremacists, black white supremacists operating in the black church was to have a counter religion, you know, because we saw during Garvey's movement that just talking Pan-Africanism when you basically still practicing Christianity as is told to us in America simply doesn't work.
But you got to look at something else. A lot of blacks that got involved with Christianity, you don't see them, like with the Nation of Islam, they created an industry. They go ahead and had a way to go ahead, and they were working on feeding themselves and going ahead and doing stuff and going ahead, bringing some ways to go ahead and basically support what they were doing. And
the idea of the Nation of Islam was trying to be self-sufficient. They weren't talking about nationhood, but they talked about basically just living among ourselves and just being self-sufficient, owning things, have our own affairs and our own customs and our own, do our own thing instead of relying on white folks and everything like that.
Here's the crazy part about it. When you got black Christians, they want to go ahead and they don't mind working for white folks, go ahead and bringing white, going to white churches, being accepted by white folks, and not realizing that at the same time they're killing themselves.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is this. And this is one thing I've noticed and noticed is that look at the white churches and look at the black churches. Both practice the same religion, right? Look at the Mormons, right? How successful the Mormons were. You know, and the Irish Catholics and the Irish Protestant and the Irish, that Irish Protestant, how successful they were in America. They're basically talking the same religion, but yeah, and you go to any black community in the South, I'll tell you anything. Go look at the black church, right? Okay, you have a lot of vanity. Everybody has nice cars and everything, but you really, you know, they ain't no real wealth. We have a nice car. Go to the white church. They really have something. You'll see a judge, somebody who's a judge, is a multimillionaire, sitting next to somebody who has his own contracting business, and they're both sitting on singing on the choir. You know, they're both. I mean, how can you basically? They're in a white church, and they love being white and everything like that. But whatever their interpretation of the Bible says, telling them is, it's all good. Black people ain't shit, you know? We got this. God gave this to us. This is ours, and we ain't apologizing for nothing. All throughout the South. And you got black so-called the same religion, and they're living in poverty and mediocrity. So how can you both be practicing the same thing? It's just like the Amos Wilson said. Although you have a religion, your reality, black people choose their religion to adjust to their reality. Black churches will tell you to sit back and suffer and wait for your by and by. Because if black people ever did practice Christianity the way the white man did, you'll be delivered. Because no white person is going to live under black people dominating everything and having everything, and white people are not going to live under black rule. That's just the way it is. White people are not ever going to be in a position where they're at the mercy of black people. But we're so used to being at the mercy of white people, we even interpret any religion, and to be honest with you, even the Nation of Islam now. You know, they have not gone anyplace. They're still under the same white rule. So they've adjusted themselves to living under white supremacy too.
But it's more accepted. It's a lot more accepted. Everybody's line is open. You can chime in at any time.
I'll say peace to you, brother.
Peace to you, brother.
No, I am open my mouth. What's going on, Caleb?
What's up?
I see you using your high school picture as an icon on your thing now, man. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. I was just
trying to sneak by me. I know that's you.
Yeah, we talked about the throwback on when I was on the picture on the field.
Yeah, look like you about in the eighth grade or something.
Oh yeah, no, that was years ago. I was like 19 at the time.
Hey, Brother Pianki, let me ask you something. Is murders, poverty, unemployment, is that still important in America, or going to Syria is more important, creating more wars more important?
Well, going to Syria is important for somebody else.
Yeah.
Murder and poverty is a distraction to keep you unfocused.
Yeah, unfocused, so what should we be focused on?
Well, the people that's wanted to go into Syria is, they had one of them on interviewing today. It was old half-dead Kissinger. And
he's
the group that
he
represents.
You got to be kidding me. Kissinger's still alive?
Yeah, I was surprised as hell.
I've seen black and white pictures of him from back in the day. He was old back then.
Yeah.
I mean, back in Idi Amin was like, man, Kissinger's an old man and whatnot. He was an old man back in Idi Amin's time.
That guy's still alive.
They had him propped up. Yeah. I think they had some props on him or something. But no, that's them people. That's some of them old oligarchies, man. They need to all be hunted down like rabid dogs brought to justice and done.
Yeah,
you know.
Kissinger did a job on Africa, you know. Everything
yes,
you
did.
See in Africa right now, which involved with Liberia, the coup in 1980 Liberia, that was a Kissinger masterpiece. Him and that Brzezinski, you know.
Yep.
Masterpiece,
but they're seen as heroes, and it's like okay, I got an idea, but I want to hear your brother's thoughts on it. You know, who's pretty much masterminding the destruction in the black communities in America. We can go ahead because it's obvious you can find the obvious culprits in Africa, but who's the biggest ones going ahead doing it today?
Well, right now, like I said, in Black America this is how it is as I see it. You know, we have certain black people, man, that we just have to come to a conclusion, right? And so many words they're trying to get this out that they really don't give a fuck about our cause and what we were saying in the community or not. They just want to get paid and they want to live for today, and do all they can, sex, money, murder. That's the name. That is the motto right now. Sex, money, murder. Do all I can, whatever like that. They don't care about they're partying with whites, blacks, and everything. All about partying, all about doing whatever they can and everything like that. That is their religion. You know, that is their religion. Snoop Dogg, all the bullshit he talks, that's his religion. He ain't just somebody say, yeah, this and the other thing. He has a real vested interest in promoting all this promiscuity, all this stuff like that. And what that does is it weakens a community, because if you don't have any moral base, right, you can't talk about crime. How do people become criminals and everything?
You know, I always say that, you know, these guys, you know, this is how they make their money. So they don't give a damn about going ahead and changing the situation in the hood.
No.
This helps keep them go ahead and selling records and go ahead and talk about the situation to make music,
they
make money.
And all that, they got a ready-made market, white suburbia. You know, so we got white suburbia who's fueling all this. You know, because I'm telling you, the other day I was driving and I was sitting on the road. And I'm seeing this hardcore Gucci Mane, whatever like that, Bugatti, thinking about a freaking car. And I looked over, and it was a freaking blonde, blue-eyed white kid. He was like in a trance. I feel like turning my car off, right, before the light changes, freaking reaching inside of the car and strangling him. What the heck are you doing? You know, don't you understand you're contributing to the destruction of my race and whatnot? Your dollars that you're supporting, that's where the money's coming from. You know, the money is coming from the suburbia, white American suburbia. And then they turn around and say, no, look what black people are doing to our culture. Well, who is basically, it's just the same thing when people will say, well, the Colombians are responsible for the drug epidemic in America. No, they're not. If people weren't buying it, if people weren't demanding it, there wouldn't be a supply if it wasn't a demand for it. You know, people are buying this garbage, listening to this rap music, listening to all stuff like that, and then
another thing I always say, man, is that we don't have a real strong media apparatus. We don't have a real strong opposition. You know, they got all the money to go ahead and keep, and they're making money constantly, so they can go ahead and shut you down. But the beautiful thing about the internet is, hey, look, you know, you can't go ahead with all of the different phone apps. You can go ahead and put out some more stuff.
Yeah,
but you guys got to put them out there, because I got another brother who was supposed to call in. I'm waiting for him because he put together some real good music, man. I'm like, wow, and it's dealing with confronting all these morons.
Confronting who?
Confronting all these morons, all these people that's out here, you know. What's his name?
Yeah.
2 Chainz, whatever the shit, what the fuck
his
name
is. Yeah, all stuff like that. And the bottom line is this. If you say anything about him, you're a hater. What do you think? It's like this. Tell me any civilization where somebody else decides what a group of people's heroes or icons are. This is the only time in history where we're still slavery. You mean tell me if somebody, every time Jay-Z sits down and makes a multi-million-dollar deal, and he's making his money in white folks.
He's
making his record deal, P. Diddy, they're making their money in white people. You know, and it's cool to basically sit down and have dinner with Robert De Niro and all these others like that. So it's chic. So when we start talking about us black people getting together, they're trying to make it seem like and make no mistake, this is a war against people who think like us. Like, oh, y'all antiquated, man. See, look what the world's coming to. Black and white people are making money together. We're doing business together. We're partying together. Black and white people are chilling at P. Diddy's party and whatnot. This, that, and the other thing. And then they say, yeah, you guys are black racists. You guys don't hate everybody. That's why I'm very adamant.
You know,
them guys
are afraid. Let me play a track real quick. Let me take a quick break.
Niggas are scared of revolution. But niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution. Because revolution is nothing but change. And all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murk and change into pimping clothes. They just speak to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde. And old black hair and lips will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Yeah, things are changing. Nigga things into black nigga things. Black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes it rap and rave. Black power, and the change There comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. High five. Ooh, high five. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of the great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react to them like he did Malcolm, niggas want to act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting out revolution, niggas say,
I can't dig in action.
Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about the mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind upside. Niggas don't know a damn thing about the mind, but they'd be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They've been there so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much with them, they say fuck you. When it's time at TCB, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. But when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking monsters. Not knowing what they're fucking for. Ain't fucking for love and appreciation. Just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, black thighs, yellow thighs, brown thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of thighs. Niggas fuck Charlie, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't watch out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck fuck if it could be fuck. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When the niggas play, ain't tight enough to play with some black guys. Niggas play with white guys to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white guys to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the streets. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope until they arm. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year, if that is coming in, the white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shot? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are lovers. Niggas are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Todd and fuck over NATO. Niggas love to hear an old ranger yell, high on silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but you can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Yeah, powerful.
Greetings, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. Yeah, you know, because we got these individuals out here who's scared of revolution.
Yeah, no, Black Power. Andrew Young was scared of Black Power.
Andrew Young was scared of Black Power.
You were saying something earlier, Brother Rob, you were saying something earlier. And you were saying, who can we blame? And I'm saying, maybe 40 years ago, we could have blamed the devil. But I think in 2013, it's the Negro's fault. It's our fault. for the while we're still in the position that we're in today. And we can blame the younger ones, can blame the older ones of today, but you know, it all comes down to the nigger mentality. You know, at the end of the day, all we have to do is stop participating in the devil's system completely. I mean, that would have to start from the hip hop artists, the entertainers.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I'm saying if we stop going, I know it's not going to happen, brother. I'm just trying to say.
We can blame ourselves today.
I came to the realization,
I will say, like around 4 years ago, because I figured, okay, wait a minute. Okay, we got the internet. We got this, that other thing going on over here. Okay, this was started. When Obama got elected, I said, look, even though I knew, you know, she's doing politics, she's not going to do nothing for black people. But it did, in many ways, it did. You have a lot of people, black kids going to school, and inspired by them. That's a good thing. But almost after he got elected, you got all these people, right? Who are basically coming out full force with this garbage, Soulja Boy, this Chief Keef, you know, all these things.
I don't think Obama's positive in any way. Because if all
you're missing my point. Let me finish what I'm saying. You're missing my point. What I'm saying is this. When he did came out, right? Well, hate him or love him, whatever like that, there was a lot of people that basically looked at him as a role model and said, look, I like him. What he does and what he does in office, it's irrelevant. People just looked at him and said, look, man, I could be whatever I want to be. And there's a lot of bros out there on that path. Farrakhan, anybody will tell you, that part of Barack Obama has been a plus. But you don't understand African American mentality and culture. I do. You know?
Okay.
When you come from a culture where you're used to seeing black people in power and everything, yeah, you can think like that. But when you're seeing black people in America beaten down all the time and everything like that, when somebody does something, you know, just like when Jackie Robinson got the first was the first major hit, that's the way black people in America think. I know the mentality of our people. You know?
Yeah.
So you know when I apply to somebody overseas in Nigeria or whatever like that, but it's not gonna apply to you.
Brother. All right, you say that then, brother. Let me say something back without you cutting in, yeah? Now, you say that, but all the coonery that goes on in America comes out here to the UK. My family is from Jamaica, and it goes to Jamaica.
Hold on, one at a time.
Give each other a couple of minutes.
Hey, let me finish though, bro. We copy what you lot do. So when you're saying all that, I know you're saying that that's a positive. There ain't no positivity in that. Because if all you strive to be like Obama, that's more house niggas. We don't need traitor ass niggas in our camp. That means when our children grow up to be, if they get into any government position, it's okay that they're not helping our people. Because when Barack Obama was in power, he didn't do shit for niggas.
Yo, let me say this, man. And I hope you understand that, because I hate repeating myself. You know, all that don't mean shit to the average black person. You know. Barack Obama didn't do anything the first 4 years in office, right? Everybody knows what he's all about. When the Democrats, the gays, the females, all the left-wing coalition got him elected president, right? Black people were only a small part. Black people were just satisfied with somebody looked like them, looked like they stuck into the Tea Party and the white right wing. That's as far as it goes. You know, it doesn't matter what he does and everything like that. Now, the problem is, we black people in America have turned our back on real liberation and nationalism. We want all our nationalism to project it on Barack Obama. And he never once said, I'm a black nationalist, I'm anything like that, did he? But we still went out and voted for him.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say that this man is not a positive role model. He's about as positive as
Jay-Z or 50 Cent,
bro.
Okay,
so who's
a better role model, him or Lil Wayne? Who's a better role model for black people, a black youth? Him or Lil Wayne?
Elijah Muhammad, and Marcus
Garvey. Nobody knows who. Yeah, look, I don't think 1,000 black kids in America know who Elijah Muhammad is.
Yeah, well, though, I'm just trying to say.
Dude, I'm trying to tell you the reality of what's going on. You give me all this fantasy stuff about Elijah Muhammad. Like, we've already had that debate for 40 years. You know, the Nation of Islam came and went, man. What are you talking about? We're talking about 2013.
There's not one role model that you can show me that's on the TV now that the devil puts on the devil.
Oh, okay, there's no kidding. There's no kidding. But who controls television?
The role model for our people. They ain't not.
Yeah, but who controls? Yo, look, I know that. You know, who controls television?
You know, when you said to me earlier, brother, oh, well, I know the mentality of people in America and this, that, and the other. I'm in the UK, and they're throwing Martin Luther the damn king at me. And this man destroyed niggas in America with that integration bullshit. House nigga.
Yo, bro, I think you're talking after the fact. If you piece of advice for you, man, you know, you got to meet people where they're at. Hold on. You say you're from Jamaica, right?
I'm born in Jamaica.
Hold on.
Neither one of y'all can understand each other if you keep on talking over each other.
Let me make my point.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Believe it or not, y'all on the same page. Both of y'all need to listen to each other.
I know, but I want to clear something up. I want to make a point like I did earlier about the Israel and the Holocaust. I want to make a point. Rob, you don't like this, you know? You say you were born in Jamaica, right, my brother?
I never said I was born in Jamaica. I said I was born
in
Jamaica.
He said his family came from Jamaica.
Your family came from Jamaica, right? And you live in the UK. I don't know about you, man, but the UK is the whitest of the whitest countries on the freaking planet. You know?
What do you mean?
There ain't no integration in UK. You ain't never going to see no black prime minister in UK. Now, you can forget that. That whole culture is white. But you live in the UK. You could tomorrow go to Lagos, Nigeria and live. You tomorrow can go to South Africa and live. You can go to Ghana and live. You know, your family went from Jamaica and moved to another part of the British Empire, which is the mainland UK. Black people in America, we were brought over here, and right now, currently, we got no place to go to.
Hold on. Why don't you ask me how my family got over here, rather than trying to make an assumption like I'm some damn African who just jumped on a boat. Unless the country.
Hold on. That's a problem right here.
Ask me a straight question. You're talking to me like I'm some damn African. Like my family dropped on.
Why you say damn African, man? After we're all African, that's the whole point.
So let me talk to you how they got there, because you just tried to make an assumption like, oh, well, we came here and we were slaves and we came here, rare. There was no jobs in the Caribbean. There's no jobs in Jamaica. So my family came on Windrush after they helped fight in the World War. I have a grandfather who fought in World War II, and they promised them that they could get a passport and they could stay in the UK and get work. Then my other side of my family, they came on Windrush. Now the British...
All right, let me ask you.
Well, can I give you a historical lesson, Kel? Now, my family came. They said they only gave my family 5 years. My grandfather, who came on Windrush, 5 years to come over here and work as, and he can work for 5 years. And they promised jobs for his family as well. So we came over. We stayed. We came over. We stayed for 5 years, and then they just ended up. We just ended up staying. My family just ended up staying. Now I'm second generation born over here. So
right, let me ask you a question now. Now the Rastafarians went to Ethiopia and have still got a successful community settlement in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. They didn't go to UK. You know, you got Jamaican Rastafarians still go making a trek to Ethiopia and Ghana.
They weren't going Ethiopia.
How you gonna pass judgment about black people in America when your family had a choice to go someplace else and you chose to go to the UK and you're still defending that?
I never even passed a judgment, but I will now. But am I wrong that you probably got the biggest number of house niggas worldwide?
You're throwing that around, man, but you're not making any. You're just being presumptuous with that, you know? You can't just throw around saying house niggas just because somebody lives in America, you know? You got house niggas left, right, bro. I'm gonna say all of you are house niggas, a majority of you are house niggas, and then
lost of knowledge itself. Fuck in the head.
I see, man. You see, now you're not making any sense, man. Now you're suspect, man. You ain't making any sense. Now you're not making any sense. I'm starting to worry about you, my friend.
Y'all niggas, Negroes, the bottom line is you don't know anything about this country.
You don't know anything about America. You know, you don't know anything about the situation, black people in America. You know, it's obvious you don't know anything about this country. You don't know anything about this. I can tell when someone's been here for a couple of years and everything, they've seen America, then they can talk. You don't know anything about America. All you know is what you see on TV.
Listen, bro. My queen's been in America. She just came back from America. The only reason why I never got to go out there is because of my criminal record. But I will be there next year.
My point is, you live in the UK. You live in the UK. You know, what's wrong with you going to the motherland? You can go back to Jamaica if you want to. How can I go back to Jamaica like that?
Yeah,
you could do that, you know, but yeah, hey, technically you live in England, that's the house, you know. Jamaica was a plantation, the field. Technically, you're a house nigga, you know. You went to England.
I never went to England. I tried to tell you that I'm a second generation.
Yeah, you said your family would say you technically your whole family brought you up as a house nigga then.
When they came out here, when there was no jobs in Jamaica.
So the black people that are migrating in America, we still got people migrating from the south to north, north to south. They're trying to find a job just like your family did. Ain't nobody trying to live in no, trying to be no house. There's people trying to make it here.
Britain's full of
shit. Shit is sharp in America. You don't know what's going on here.
And listen, bro, it's harder, much harder to live in Jamaica than it is in the United States. Y'all niggas don't need to
be.
Hey,
Rob, you want to chime in on this, bro?
I think you two need to listen to each other because you're actually going ahead and making a whole point of my show.
You got, as a host, man, you got to make a point. You got to clarify what's going on, this and the other thing.
Hold on, okay. If you would just go ahead and listen to each other just a little bit more. I really think you need to listen to each other a little bit more. And that's what I'm not hearing. You only want to talk over each other and go ahead and finish
your point, but you're not going ahead and listen to each other. I hear everything you have to say. He didn't hear everything that you had to say.
Both of you keep talking over each other.
Okay, go ahead and make your point, and I'll respond to it. I can't even remember, man,
because like I said, I don't know, you just come with some patriotic shit, but I don't represent the UK. Fuck the UK. You understand? This ain't my fucking country. And we control, the United Kingdom control America anyway. So, you know, really?
I want
things to crash. I want America to be straight, and I want the UK to be straight. But I'm like, I don't give a shit. It's only better. It's only good for black folks if America crumbles. As far as I'm concerned, y'all need to get the your asses out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, until look, that's all fine and noble.
But did you hear what it just point? That's what you and I were just talking about. That's what you keep talking about. Get the hell out of here.
Rob, I know that. I know that. I hear that point. Hold on, I hear just like the Skype asshole who says
something like that. Hey, what I'm saying, America's going to get it before the UK. Let me tell you that. You look, America, where you lot are at, you lot are going to get it before the UK gets their karma. You understand? You lot,
but hold on, Poverty. Poverty, what you, and also something that you said earlier was that, you know, black people in Jamaica left Jamaica to come to the UK. At that migration, to go ahead and leaving the situation in Jamaica. It was almost a similar thing here. Kayla, you and I was talking about this earlier, with how black people were leaving the South and coming up to the North.
Yeah, coming to the North. People do what they got to do. My
for economic reasons.
People,
and we go ahead and take on whatever was going on
and
up here
also,
in the North.
Well, the thing I'm trying to say is this, though. When you make a presentation, this is the whole thing I'm talking about. When people always talk about babbling about the house leaders and everything, if we ever going to talk about serious about nationhood, man, the people that you actually going to have to basically appeal to are 43 million black people who say, you know something, you guys are making sense. But black people in America are not stupid. You know, they're very intelligent. And so, therefore, when you come across as, oh, yeah, you are your house leaders and everything, and not basically...
I'm basically telling you, so how come, why is it that the sister got uppercut in her face, but you had grown men taking pictures of that shit? That's crazy.
Well, see, that's another thing. You're going by what you see on the internet and everything. That's not the majority of black people. Yeah, that's not the majority of black people. What you see in rap videos is not black people, you know?
Black people, majority of you are like you, and that's bullshit. What you're feeding me.
This is the problem here where I deal with a lot of black people from other countries and everything, foreigners and everything. They don't
wait, hold on,
America.
Hold on, Poverty. Go ahead, Kayla, make your point. I'm gonna give you guys, go ahead and give you 2 minutes apiece, man, so you can go ahead
okay,
and make your point.
Okay, check it out. This is the problem I have, right? You can't have a discussion as a base where people basically got all this misinformation. You know, this misinformation about black people in America. And I'm trying to tell you that, yo, if you basically say America is not this, that, and the other thing, you better have something to replace America with. Or you just better just sit back and be quiet. Because black people are going to laugh you and diss you and dismiss you out of the thing as another lunatic. That's all I'm saying. If you basically, and then I made the point, I said, okay, if you say that, you know, that everybody, black people living as house niggas in America, and this, that, and the other thing, I'll say, okay, but you live in the UK. You know, that's my point. You live in the UK. What's the difference of you, us living in America? You live in the UK. You're doing what you got to do to eat and survive. And then you said that, well, I can't go back to Jamaica and make a living, this, that, and the other thing. Okay. You know, so where black people in America are going to go to right now? And the present thing, we don't have a nation state to go to. We ain't like Israel or the Italians or the Germans that got homelands and everything. We don't have any of that. Now, one country in Africa give us dual citizenship. So when I say this gets back to my original point. So when I say for all it's worth and everything like that, America, there's a certain hidden hand in America, Clear Channel, Radio 1, who are pushing these people like Rick Ross, all these people on black youth. They want black youth. I got a cousin of mine, a young cousin of mine that put on blog.
Hello, okay. That's in 2 minutes.
Let me say one more thing, and I'll shut up.
Okay.
You got so many people out here, so many black, and I'm seeing it right in my own life, my own family, that are basically hell bent on this the music, the rap, and all the stuff like that. Want to be drug dealers, want to be thugs, everything else. So when I say that, if you have somebody like Barack Obama or whatever like that, even though I don't agree with him politically, and people say, you know something, because of him, and I hear kids saying, because of him, man, I want to go back to school and finish my degree. Look, hey, I'm all for it. May not like what he does, this, that, and the other thing, but I'll take that over nobody else. Now, is there another alternative and everything? Of course not. Okay. Of course not. There's nothing. There's nobody else. Because
okay, let him get in.
Black people only respect power. If you ain't got a lot of money and power, black people only respect you.
Okay, Kay, let him get his time. Go ahead, Poverty. Go ahead and chime in on that.
I mean, this is the thing, man. Like, I always say, I ain't got no problem with, here's the thing, I like doing it. You see, whenever I come and I speak about America, I like when they start getting all defensive and get all patriotic. This is what I like doing. I like doing it. Because you, I don't know what's up with you, though. You understand? I'm just pointing out facts to you. If you come and tell me, well, there's a lot of house Negroes in the UK, what am I going to do? I ain't going to defend that. You already just said that your family are addicted to the bullshit of Rick Ross and that. Are they righteous, Pete? Is that righteous thought to listen to or even take in that bullshit? Is that really righteousness? Really? I'm dealing with right and wrong. I ain't dealing with no BS, man. You know what I mean? And that's why me and this brother having a problem, because he just hear me coming and he's saying, well, you can't speak on America. I ain't even speaking on America. I'm just saying we're getting all the coonery that's going on out there. Bottom line, you know, I got friends who go to Atlanta, and they say it's full of faggots out there. Full of faggots in Atlanta. You understand? But this brother here wants to come and tell me, yeah, that, oh, well, people in America, they're very intelligent. You understand? Where I got friends who are from, like, from islands like Dominica and that, and these Americans have never even heard of where they're from. So I don't think that's very intelligent, man. You understand? At the end of the day, that's what I said. Negro, I said, and you said, oh, I should put something in front of it. People with Elijah Muhammad's teachings, Marcus Garvey, those are who you should follow. If you say, well, give us something else, then yeah, do all the teaching. That's who I read. I only read Elijah Muhammad books all day long. I love those books. He had the right plan for you lot. It's a shame that you lot never kept on following it. But I already understand it was the devil, CIA, who ruined all of that and got all these infiltrators, these house niggers like Louis Farrakhan, house nigger. Don't like it? Oprah, house nigger. You have got a collection, a big number of house niggers.
That's 2 minutes.
Kayla, you got one more minute. You got three in. Hold on, let him get another one. Go ahead, Poverty.
You have got a house nigger. Yeah, you have got a house nigger problem, bottom line. I don't know why this brother wants to try and fight that and hide that. I don't understand this. You understand? But y'all said you're entertaining me, and I'll go with you tonight about this, bro. I don't really mind. You understand?
Okay, let me explain something to you.
I'm telling you, I'm not a fool. You know, I got educated by the great honorable Elijah Muhammad, so I can go all night tearing you up.
Okay, Poverty.
Hold on,
Kayla.
We'll take it or leave it alone, brother.
Hold on, Poverty. Go ahead, Kayla.
I ain't said
that. All right, now, what he doesn't understand is like this. I guess Poverty doesn't understand the whole American culture. He don't understand the plantation culture. When you talk about house Negro, field Negro, you got to understand something. Evidently, he doesn't understand the whole dynamics of the thing. There were house Negroes. They're field Negroes, and they're also yard Negroes. See, a lot of yard Negroes never mention that part, because a lot of yard Negroes are the ones that usually front like them militants, but they basically leave themselves out of history. You know, the yard Negroes are the ones that basically, during slavery times, were the ones that were in between the house and in between the field. He wants to make sure that he wants to basically rebel rouse the mass of the field people. And basically, he was jealous of the house Negro. That doesn't mean necessarily he was on the field, he was down for the cause. But he was just looking out for his own self-interest, you know. And another thing in history, a lot of the slave rebellions and poisoning of the masses and everything, and the murders by slaves, the masses, were actually done by house slaves. People don't say that. Not all house slaves were basically bad. I mean, were basically sellouts. And not all field slaves were basically rebels. Some field slaves used to go out there and hunt other field slaves and beat other field slaves. So evidently you have never studied the dynamic of slavery in America as well as I have, so you can't debate me on it. So that report is me. So you can't use. So when you come up here and start
call everybody a house nigga and this and that, so they don't agree with you. You don't even understand the dynamics of what you're saying in the first place.
Hold on, Kayla. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something,
Hold on.
Because Dr. Clark said something about that when he was talking about Farrakhan. When he was talking about how Farrakhan was saying, "Hey, look, the toughest slaves," blah blah blah. We know the bullshit. But what Dr. Clark said was, when they took a lot of blacks to the Caribbean, they kept them together in lots. And they split, and they kept them together. Also, by different tribes and different cultures, almost. But in the U.S., they split everybody up a little bit different. You see what I'm saying?
Black people in America, we're all mixing. We don't all mix together.
So hold on. So more of the people that was, you know, a lot of times the field nigga, the house nigga, could identify with each other in the Caribbean, but in the U.S. they couldn't. You know, so they didn't have no loyalty to a lot of different people. Y'all understand that?
I think it was just the opposite, Rob. I'm gonna go with Dr. Clark. I think you might have read it wrong, Rob. This is how it was in America.
And I get that speech. I'll play it for you next time. I'll show you.
Let me read what I studied. Okay, in America, unlike the Caribbean, the Caribbean blacks were the majority. Okay, blacks were the majority in the Caribbean and everything like that. So slave rebellions were basically frequent, and they were sometimes successful, you know. But in America, it was different. White people, there was historically always been a sense of unity among black people, whether they were house slave, field slave, yard slave, whatever like that. And a lot of slave rebellions were plotted from Denmark Vesey, you know, Gabriel Presser, you know. Even in Haiti, Toussaint Louverture will be classified as house slaves. Okay, Nat Turner was classified as a house slave. He could read and write.
Toussaint Louverture was.
You
know? Toussaint Louverture was
a black French.
That's a street behind the door, bro.
Listen, and you learn something. Let me say some point. Toussaint Louverture was educated in France. Okay, when he went to Haiti, right? He on the presumption that he was part of the French aristocracy. But when he saw the conditions of people that looked, even though they came from different tribes and everything, when he saw that people that looked like him were degraded, and he found that his status wasn't really all that up to, because he was treated almost like a black, and he was treated with suspicion because of his color. That's what was the genesis of the Haitian Revolution. The black educated got together with the field slave. Almost all slave rebellion that was successful was because the ones that were educated got together with the field slaves. The field slaves and the ones that were educated, that's what they tried to prevent in America. Now, when people keep saying it's house nigga, field negro, and whatnot, you know, the bottom line is black America, only black America is ever going to get anywhere, is black America, the rich, the educated, are united with the masses, you know. So I don't like this division of black people calling people this, that, and the other thing. And I've learned over the years, you know, blogging, that I got support from black people. Hold up, black people. People live in a project, and I got people that are multimillionaires, you know, who basically we're sitting on the same page as brothers and everything like that in a struggle, you know. So I don't buy that nonsense about, oh, yeah, we got this house. I don't like all that division stuff. The people that
okay, hold on, hold on,
okay. The people that are house slaves.
Hold on, Caleb.
Those are the people I'm worried about. I'm not worried about all these other people, too. And this guy
trying to
malign everybody he don't agree with.
Okay, bro, let him get his time. Go ahead, Bobby.
Listen, man, the man played intellectual masturbation. Now you wanna come and tell me what the meaning of a real house nigga is? Listen, I don't care about the origin. You know what I mean in 2013. Why are you playing?
Well, obviously, I don't.
Caleb, hold on. Let him get his time. Yeah,
huh?
You got your time on
the right. Rick Ross is a damn house nigga working for the best interest of the devil. Louis Farrakhan is a house nigga working for the best interest of the devil.
Well, how do we know you're not an alpha?
Can't interrupt you.
But take it or leave it alone, brother. I ain't no billionaire because I wouldn't be talking to y'all. You understand? If I had money, you'd know about me. Feel me? So, you know, if you want to believe it or not, innit? Believe it or not. The brother see me, so he knows I'm black. If you want to go there and say, well, you sound like a white man. You understand? So if you want to try and ease your action.
I've seen him.
Yeah? So at the end of the day, you can say what you want, but like I said, you can keep on playing intellectual masturbation. You can play it with yourself. Because I know what I mean when I'm calling these niggas house name niggas. Like I'm saying, everyone deserves a title. And that's how I identify people. In 2030, if you're a black man and you're working for the best interest of the beast, or you don't give a shit about our people, and you're sitting there in your nice house and have your nice car, and you've got your white woman, you know, or your kids, you know, you act like a white man.
Come on, give a shit about our people.
Yeah, he's CIA. He's working for the devil.
You got proof of that?
Of course, I got proof.
Where's your proof at, bro?
Let me give you my proof. So you run.
Hold on, Poverty.
Go ahead,
Caleb. Go ahead. Let Caleb make his point because you got.
Right, now this is exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know what Poverty's agenda is. What I don't know if he's just a hater. Whatever like that. I have disagreements with Minister Farrakhan, a lot of stuff like that. But of all the things you could say about Minister Farrakhan, calling him a house nigga and all stuff like that, you got to be insane.
What?
You know, you really need medication. You really need to see the doctor. Minister Farrakhan is not no gang house nigga.
Hello, Poverty, one more minute.
Mr. Farrakhan is not working with no CIA. That is a bold-faced lie. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Anytime we're going to be serious or taken seriously, you know, if I'm going to have a conversation with anybody and whatnot, or move anybody, you better, if you basically make an accusation like that, you better come with some facts.
Yeah, I will.
Why are you bringing the knife?
Probably. Give me your facts. What are you talking about?
He's diverted from the teachings of the great honorable Elijah Muhammad, for a start. Yeah? And he's taken the people into Scientology. That's, it's over now.
So what does that got to do with him working for the CIA?
Caleb, he didn't interrupt you. Go ahead. Remember that? He didn't interrupt you. Let him make his point. Go ahead.
L1 Hubbard is working for the fucking MI6. You understand? That's a whole, that whole movement is CIA MI6. You understand? Alistair Crowley was the thinking brain behind Scientology. Look it up, man. Look it up. Look how they take your name for a start. This is just a low degrees of Mason, lower Masonry, weak Masonry. They get your secrets, just like Masonry, but in Masonry, if you want to rise to the top, you've got to do some homosexuality. But these things are just secrets. They didn't want to hold things against you so that when you want to leave, they can hold you by your throat inside the organization with your secrets. Now, when you go into Scientology, you have to tell the auditor all your secrets, your deepest, darkest secrets.
Like I said, man, you're going off the wall, my friend.
Do you know
Elijah Muhammad was a Mason?
Yeah.
Right. So technically. What you're saying is Elijah Muhammad is probably a house nigga working for the devil too, right? If that's your logic.
Masonry, no. Masonry back then was a different thing. Was different from
Give me a date.
You know what? Look, you brothers need to go ahead and stick with your time period, your time frame, and don't ask each other questions.
I had time. He interrupted me. Okay, I'll ask you a question.
But go ahead and make your point. Then finish it up with a question.
Okay. My point is this. When did masonry change? When Elijah Muhammad died, suddenly masonry changed? Masonry, if you study masonry, has been around for hundreds of thousands of years, you know? And so when did masonry and this Freemasonry, which one were they? Were they Masons or Freemasons?
I'm talking about...
No, were they Masons or Freemasons?
I'm talking about... Freemasons come from Egypt, obviously. I'm talking about...
You don't know what you're talking about. Scottish Freemasonry was something born in Scotland. You know? Do you understand what Freemasonry
and
is?
And came over to America. So wasn't Albert Pike?
What does Freemasonry have to do with somebody being a Mason?
Hold on. For you to have your lodge to be certified, even in America, for your lodge to be certified, it has to go through the UK, the United Kingdom lodge. It has to go through the English lodge. If it don't go through the Queen's lodge, it ain't going to be seen as shit. Like, if you're part of the Prince's Hall Masonry, that stuff has been chartered from Britain, from the UK.
So is Robert Mugabe house digger?
No.
Robert Mugabe's working for the damn devil as well, man.
So now Robert Mugabe is working for the devil. Okay.
They put him in power.
Farrakhan's working for the devil. Robert Mugabe is working for the devil. You sure, man, that you black militant, or are you trying to throw people off?
Listen, man.
You know what?
Listen, man.
Hold on, man. I need you guys to take a breather real quick, man. Hold on a minute.
Watch his debate with Amanpour. And he even said, when Amanpour says to him, oh, why are you kicking out the white people off the land? Is him, oh, but the British knew 10 years in advance that I was going to do this. So you go and talk to the British.
Yeah, there was a Lancaster Agreement in 1980, Lancaster Agreement.
There
was a Lancaster Agreement. He had every right to take that land away from them, you know?
For the devil, wasn't it? They put him in power.
Okay, how's he working for the devil when he just took their land from them, you know? I mean, Rob, man, I'm learning something new here,
country,
you know?
Bro.
Hold on, take a breather, get some water, and I'm going to play something right fast, okay?
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. There's a white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
Okay, all right, right. You know, we brothers are going at it pretty hot and heavy. Gonna bring them both back in. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here on Blog Talk Radio. All right,
Rob,
brothers. Deal in a sense.
I agree with that. I, Brother Rob, I agree with that 100%. And you know me, I have I've been a heavy critic of Mr. Farrakhan. My shows and everything, you and me both, you know. But when it comes down to somebody basically saying, when you try to defame somebody or bear false witness against somebody, that's a different story. You know, I'm not going to take away the legacy of what the man
he's the government
did when
he's
calling him a house
nigga
and this,
a
that,
white
man's thing, man. You out of line.
I mean, hold on, Bobby. Let him make his point, then come in, okay?
Farrakhan's the white man's bitch.
See, you can't have a civilized conversation with you, man. Cause that's just disrespectful, man.
Okay. Don't be disrespectful. Let's not have that.
What's the Farrakhan?
We have a lot of these people in our community. Farrakhan, Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. It's a bunch of them. And whether we like them or not, we have to admit that they have done some good.
They have, you know, Jesse, all of them. Al Sharpton, don't like them. But the bottom line is this, I'm not going to basically say they're working for the white because I know they're not. You know, that's the most serious thing you could say in Black America. I don't know how it is where you live at.
But, well, you know what, Caleb, you know, some of the actions, you know, is questionable. I mean, let's get real
right,
about it. Some of the actions are questionable. And some of the inactions, let me make my point, okay, because this is where I got, from over here, and I was trying to read them statistics about what's going over here and the murder rates over here, these fuckers, they disappear. And Al Sharpton's got a show. All of them got a microphone shoved in their face.
Right,
and
right.
I was telling
Rob,
a little while ago,
Rob,
I was going to the funeral.
Rob, I'm with you.
Hold on,
Rob,
no, I'm not
Rob,
finished,
Kevin.
Don't
you.
Do me like that. I was going to funerals almost every goddamn week. Now, to go ahead and you, the Trayvon Martin thing was a sad, tragic thing. But that shit's happening over here almost every day. 20, 30, 40 kids. Mm. Damn near a day.
Let me finish.
Caleb. Don't do that to me. I asked you, brother. Come on. Now, when you not go ahead and you want to go ahead and put and you got this microphone in your face and you ain't addressing that and this shit has been going on for 30, almost 40 years.
Wait,
you
want to
go
wait.
Ahead and bring up
you
this one instance?
Show?
You want to bring up this one instance?
Show?
That got a problem with that.
Do you listen to his show?
I listen to his show, and every now and then he mention it. But it should be something missing about it every day, all day, and nobody should get a pass on it. I stopped listening to it because it's not. I don't see him over here, and I don't see their representatives over here. I'm dealing with stuff over here in these streets, and I had to go ahead and pull back because my mom got sick. I couldn't go ahead and keep dealing with that, and I got to deal with my mom too. And it was sickening to go ahead and see these
what
individuals.
What can they do, Rob?
Hold on, sister. I'm not just talking about Al Sharpton. I'm talking about all of the ones who was out there for Trayvon Martin, NAACP, Urban League, all these goddamn cranks, and they made me mad as fuck because they had that rally they had here that fucking Saturday, a bunch of kids got shot and killed that day.
It's older people like my age, maybe a little bit older, who publicly disrespect these figures and then you want them to reach out to the youth? How? When the people that they look up to don't even respect these people. So I'm trying to figure out what is it that we want them to do.
Here's my thing. What I want them to do is stop going ahead. They profit. How they make money off these issues in the streets. This is my problem. And my bigger problem is why aren't you bringing that money back? Why aren't you going ahead? You got your action network, and what is it set up to do? NAACP got all these damn lawsuits going, but the money seems to be going back into their coffers. It's not coming to the street. I had a restaurant across the street from an NAACP office, and the only time I seen them fuckers come through is when I knew they were getting money. And that's sad.
That's right. That's right. That's who they are. They're poverty preachers.
I knew they was getting money. I knew because it was almost the same individuals going ahead telling them, hey, they got some more grant money coming. They got some coming in. They want a case for this. But that neighborhood,
so
in that same damn corner, is getting shot right there, just steps away from where I went my damn restaurant. One damn
so
Saturday, I was
publicly black
and night, I called into a radio show, went to these blog talk shows, and they were shooting on the damn corner.
So you want to publicly blast them and say they're only out for money, knowing that the same youth you want them to heal is listening to you, and you think the youth is going to listen to them?
know, sister, at this point, I want to turn my back on them and focus in on what I got going, because I've seen that they've been out there for years and they ain't done nothing. So now it's my turn. I don't want to mess with them at all. Y'all can go ahead and debate whether they're doing good or they're doing bad.
Let me say this,
generation that's showing them that they don't have to have they don't have to respect their elders. Where do you think they get this from? They get it from
Rob. Rob, this is what I'm saying. Sister just made an excellent point, right? At some point in time, we got to basically say like this, and basically say, and it would be helpful if all these leaders would come up and just be on level with the people. Look, we don't have the ability to do anything about the situation. And just admit, it was a mistake for us to try to basically promise you that we could basically change things in America and look at our history. And like I told you on the last show, I said, in the dawning of the 20th century, we had a choice, you know, whether to leave,
hold on.
Let him finish, Bobby.
We had a choice during the 20th century to build our own nation or basically try to work it out in America. And we chose America and whatnot, and this is the end result of it. Everything you see right now is the end result of this. Well, you cannot integrate. Let me give you an example. In New York City, they used to have places called Five Points, Mulberry Street, Hell's Kitchen, all these places. Used to be hells on earth for European immigrants. Worse than black, lower east side of Manhattan was worse than where black people lived in Uptown. You know, white people lived in filth and poverty across the Raritan, Brooklyn. All that was up in white slums and everything. Now look at it. Where did all these places go to? All those white people basically assimilated into the American society. What happened to the black communities and everything like that? They're still there. Why? Because you cannot basically have a culture where basically one group of people has been designed that you're not going to assimilate. The only way you can assimilate into a society is through intermarriage and commingling. Black America, white America is never going to do that. So basically, the only thing black people could have did was, like Elijah Muhammad said, and Nation of Islam said, do that. That didn't work. You know, that didn't work. Okay, so the bottom line is this. We're paying for us not listening to Garvey and all these other people back in the past, and doing all things like that, and the smoke screen they put up with integration. Ben Jealous just quit the NAACP, and he said he wanted to focus on his family. Now, his whole 4 years he was in there, all he did was broaden the scope for gays, illegal immigrants, and everything like that, and nothing was done for black people.
Hold on, wait a minute. No. What you just said was my point. You've been there, and ain't no reason. That was what I was saying. And, sister, I'm trying to tell you, that was my point. Every one of them are going ahead doing something for everybody else. That's another reason. A few of my shows, I played that thing about Dr. Claude Anderson. He made that point. He was seeing this, and he made this video back almost 20-something years ago. Everybody's doing something for everybody else but black folks. And this is what I'm dealing with, what's going on today. And these murders here in Chicago, they should be doing something about going ahead and preventing that. Instead of going ahead and making sure they get out there and they pass the damn collection plate, they fattening their pockets and their coffers. All of them are doing that. Even Al Sharpton is doing that. And even Farrakhan is doing that.
Obviously, it's a business.
Let me say something, man. Because, you know, I'm going to say to what the brother was saying now. Look, you're saying that these brothers, you know, you could speak. They should just be honest with the people. Look how much money they got. They can't even make a toilet paper factory. Huh? They can't put their money together and give people grants.
That's a deeper issue, brother.
That goes to
a mentality where in the South Side of Chicago, I read like 2 years ago, where they don't have even a grocery store within miles. You know, and I'm like shocked. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, Lord, what do people do? They say,
I can tell you about. I had the map put up on my walls. Did I move this spot? And the food deserts was, man. You see all these areas, man. All these areas filled with nothing but black folks. And when you go in this area, they got some few fast food places, and then they got these nasty little stores that owned by Arabs.
Yep.
It's fucking ridiculous. I'm saying this shit, man. I know.
But Robbie, what you have to rob, but you have to admit, you have to admit, you have to go back to the origin of the thing, right? We basically
I know the origin of the thing.
We basically thought Chicago was the promised land. Chicago
No, that's not the origin, brother. Let me give you the origin of that thing here.
No, but why did we go to Chicago in large numbers though?
Thinking that because there were a lot of blacks were forced out of the South, and the ones that was there,
well,
left
why
the
they go to Chicago?
The
Let me say something that's gonna blow your mind. If all those black people would have, let's say we stayed in America, if all, Wyoming, right, has less than up until like around 15 years ago, Wyoming had less than 1 million people. If all those black people would have trekked to Wyoming, you would have a black majority state. You see?
Mission match. Like to say, Rod, the devil is the one who's fucking up. I'm not going to doubt that, but I'm saying in 2013, it's our fault. Because we can easily get rid of this devil. Easily. We can, listen, if we united overnight, all of this will be alleviated. All these problems will be alleviated. If we united overnight, this is also all it takes. But it's because we've got too many house niggas and we're educated under the devil's system, fooled system, and foolish curriculum while we're in the situation we're in. Because when you go under the devil's curriculum, more than likely, let's say everyone, but you come out with a European mindset, and the European mindset is a capitalistic mindset. So you don't give a fuck about it.
I think you're a little short-sighted. Yeah, we got Pan Africanists, nationalists, Muslims, everybody from coast to coast. It don't matter. We got everything, every kind of ideology here in America. We got black people screaming black power, and they gotta obey the same system that everybody else is. So whether
the only problem that I have with all these different groups is everybody wants to go ahead and look at everybody and scrutinize everybody, not realize that.
And that's what I'm
saying,
motherfucker.
Don't make me mute everybody. Listen, hold on now. I don't do that. You own a boat with a fucking hole in it. Now, if you ain't going to fix this fucking boat, you know, either jump the fuck off of it and float somewhere else and survive. And we are in a boat that's sinking, and we need to go ahead and organize and get together and do something about that. And that's
right,
the problem
that I agree.
See.
I agree 100%, Rob, I agree 100%. Check this out. When we have people that basically, every time we look around, there's no, look, let me tell you something right now. And I don't know how Mr. Poverty gets down with that. I'm around a lot of black people who say I deal with this every day. The bottom line is this. Everybody, black person, got their own ideology, this, that, and the other thing. You could be the most militant, pro-black, this, that, and the other thing. You are in the same situation as somebody out there dumbing around, ain't got two dimes rubbed together, can't read or write. We're all in the same situation. You know, so this is the whole thing. When somebody gets up here and starts basically, oh, you were out there, this, that, and the other thing. People are basically doing what they do to survive. If we don't come up with a plan to liberate everybody, where everybody can say, well, I can pitch in and do this, or I could do this, I could do this, I know, let's come together, this, that, and the other thing, it's never going to work. You know,
yeah, let me play something real quick, man, because I want to play this short clip, and I want you to go ahead and tell me if any one of these so-called leaders today repeating what this brother said. Okay?
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell y'all something before anybody go ahead and say anything. If any one of these leaders ain't repeating what that brother said back damn near 50 years ago, they wasting your damn time. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, you're right about that. But the thing is, Rob, how many of us basically are talking about the land? No one talks about land anymore. Land was always the basis. It's always the basis of freedom.
But if you saw that back there before, and this elder was telling you back there back then that you need to wake up and go. What was he telling you? You need to go ahead. And he was telling you. He told you what the U.S. did, sharecropping in a sense. They was bringing people, peasants in from Europe, and go ahead giving them land. They set up these organizations, the Farm Bureau in the U.S. And they gave them land. They taught them how to farm the land. They gave them equipment.
And they bought.
And you ain't got no black leaders. None of these people, from all the people that the Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, ain't none of them.
Rob,
all of them talking about multiculturalism and stuff like that, nonsense like that. Talking about what this brother was talking about, and he was talking about getting stuff and getting our check, and he got a reason for that. Please tell me what his reason was for telling everybody you're going to Washington to get our check.
Rob, check this out. Now this is the point right here. Martin Luther King, when he was at that point, right, when he basically looked at, that was after he had spent time with, and he read Malcolm X, and he spent some time in Ghana with Kwame Nkrumah and all these other national leaders and everything, like revolutionary leaders in Africa and stuff like that, and he even met with Kwame Ture and Stokely Carmichael and all these other people. They got on the same page on the main thing, you know. That was Martin Luther King in his last days, okay. Now, the whole thing in Black America is this, you know. You have people who basically, the NAACP has never had an economic platform. I don't even know to this day they did. I know back in 1998 when the Minister Farrakhan relaunched the Nation of Islam, and he came to Boston, and they said he launched his Nation of Islam economic program, right? They said, well, at least the Nation of the NAACP are still committed to integration, equality, voter rights, stuff like that, and they basically took a non-economic approach. That's what split the Urban League with Whitney Young and Roy Wilkins. Urban Young was about black people getting wealth and jobs and opportunities, stuff like that. That's why he split with the rest of them. Him and Martin Luther King split with Whitney Young. Now listen to my point. Let me learn this last point. Then I'm going to be quiet. Now, check this out. Where do you see in any good dialogue in America where any leader has pointed to land, farming, and development as a key? Show me where that debate is happening.
Elijah Muhammad used to say
that's another thing. I know you have a nostalgia for Elijah Muhammad. Let's talk about 2013. You know,
we had
hundreds of Elijah Muhammad's back in the day, but people are not going to act like Elijah Muhammad was no genius.
Name someone else.
Okay, here's my thing. I played
name
that for a reason.
Hold it now, relax.
Take it easy. Now I played that for a reason, and the reason is this: all of the people that's supposed to be speaking on our behalf. I'm not saying what that brother just said, and that was one way to get us out the hole. That is the main way to get us out the hole. Go ahead and demand what's ours, and put together, he had a plan, and put together individuals to go ahead and get what we do. And nobody is talking about that, because they're talking about everybody else's issues and not dealing with our issues and putting our issues on the table. They ain't talking about being
Rob, let me ask you this question. What do you think about, the conscious community, right? All the people that talk white devil, this, that, and the other thing.
I'm not talking about them because I don't see them on Fox News. They ain't got a TV show because the radio is cool, but you got the individuals who got the TV.
What I'm saying is this.
Those are the ones I'm talking about.
Rob, in New York, you you got people that have meetings every Saturday, Sonetta and all these people. They got there in front of thousands of people every day, rallies in Harlem, every day, 125th Street. They got people that got YouTube videos.
And how long has Al Sharpton been talking about his shit? How long has Jesse Jackson with his Rainbow Push Coalition? Even Farrakhan, how long you been doing that? Farrakhan, let me break something else down to you. Farrakhan had that Million Man March. Let me finish. Farrakhan made money prior to the march, during the march, and after the march. Okay, and shit ain't changed.
I'm with your brother.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Then 3 years ago, he comes up with another goddamn plan, a 3-year economic plan, where he wants everybody to give him $30 or more a month. Now, hold on, brother. Now, you done got money before, and you ain't going ahead and you done do nothing with that other money, and now you want something else? If you ain't talking what this brother was saying, you ain't saying what Rob,
I'm with you. I agree with you. Rob,
and Luther King was saying that you wasted my fucking time.
Right. Well, I agree with you 100%. But what I'm saying is this, though. Everybody talks about everything else, but what it's going to take is this. The people that's going to basically liberate Black America are not the people with the nice suits on everything. It's going to be a coalition of the Black workers, the farmers, the builders, the architects, the engineers, all those people have to be, Black America has to really be mobilized and working again for us to happen. You have to create energy.
Mobilizing Black America. These guys are going here telling us to follow up behind other people and follow up behind them for their causes. They're not going here following, like I said, I don't see them a representative on the street trying to deal with this.
Rob.
Show you something else that Farrakhan did a few months back, okay? He brought some Black ministers together on the west side of Chicago and tell them, hey, look, y'all ain't doing enough. Y'all need to get out in the street. Them niggas still ain't got in the damn street. And he could go ahead and stop a whole lot of shit when he had brought people walking down these streets a couple of times. If he kept them people in the street, he pulled them people back. They'll still take your money and be out there selling that bullshit.
Right, the newspapers and all that other shit, come to the restaurant.
Rob, check it out.
I agree with you 100%. And talking like this, and basically like that will basically either put them in perspective and minimalize them. The best thing we can do is keep doing what we're doing right here, minimalize them, saying, look, this is a problem, you're not addressing it, so therefore it's going to create a vacuum where somebody else can step in and really do something. That's my goal. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is basically name-calling and trying to basically slander and misrepresent. What's going to happen is there'll be a backlash against you, even though you're right. Hold on.
You still need – look, I call them all the names in the fucking book. But that's why I say that I don't want to deal with them more because I done been to their rallies. I done been to their speeches, their conferences, a bunch of shit. I done cooked for these motherfuckers. I done cooked for them for free. I ain't brought my money out of my fucking pocket that I didn't even have to go ahead and keep my goddamn house going to go ahead so I can go ahead and do shit for these motherfuckers. And then when I turn around asking for something to go ahead and help me with some projects, these motherfuckers will go.
Rob, brother,
can I say something, please? Hey, brother, you should have put some laxatives in that when you're cooking for those brothers. But I say this, right? This is a problem. And this is the thing. Our people... They don't know who their enemies are. Now, we already know that the white man is the devil. He is our mortal enemy.
Let me finish.
Now, in 2013, it's not just the devil no more. We got to watch our own people. So you have to watch these house niggas. You understand? These degenerate Negroes.
So we should have a witch hunt. So let me guess. Hold on.
Well, let me say this then. There's no witch hunt because these people put themselves out there. Witch hunt is going to have people hiding and all that other stuff. They've been out there in the forefront for years.
Hold on, Rob. They didn't have their time.
And it's not to go here and say I'm disrespecting my elders. This motherfucker ain't no better than the goddamn preacher that's raping little boys in the church. Same goddamn thing.
Rob, I just told you, I agree with you. I said you keep doing what you're doing and basically showing the best thing you can do and don't show somebody their glasses dirty. You show them your glasses clean, you know, and then basically present what you're saying to the people and basically have a plan, and the people will follow us. That's what I'm saying. You know, but this idea that, you know, somebody, I'm blacker than you and I'm more down than you, this, that, that, and the bottom line is I look at all this, that, the other thing, man, we all the same freaking thing. Everybody's trying to make it. Everybody's frustrated. Everybody got ideas. Some people are more sincere than the other. Some people more motivated than the other. But the bottom line, ain't nobody in a position to condemn anybody, if you ask me. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay. Brother, hey, sister, you ain't said nothing a minute. I want to hear.
Public display of hatred for your elders. You are an elder to them. They going to hate you. They not going to respect you. And they going to say, I got it from you.
So
what?
That's something I need to take into consideration.
We not respecting human life. We don't even respect human life for our elders or with our words towards each other. But we want these kids to respect human life and not think it's okay to kill each other. What they talking about? We killing each other.
Right.
We killing
Why
each
you
other. We killing fools. We killing houses.
How can you love your enemy, sister? You're doomed to destruction.
Nothing about loving
your
enemy.
Yeah, who do you decide what the enemies are? You know, I don't consider Minister Farrakhan an enemy. You know, I don't consider Al Sharpton an enemy. I don't consider Jesse Jackson. They may be strong, but I don't consider New Black Panther Party enemies, even though I have disagreements with them.
Yeah, they're devils. They're working for the best interest of the devil.
No,
wait a minute. When you're doing it again, you're calling them devils. You don't agree with them. You'd want to not recognize the good that they did do because it didn't suit you, and you call them devils. But you want these kids to love each other. They say I'm not killing my brother. I'm killing that devil over there. I'm not killing my brother. I'm killing that house nigga. You giving them those ideas.
It's all about black people disrespecting and denigrating. This is the problem right here. We don't like what somebody's doing right now. We're going to try to do whatever we can to slander them, destroy their reputation, and whatever like that. And then ultimately, if we could kill them, we could. And we're going to talk about we want to do something for the community.
Let me finish, man. Cause I don't know why you keep on just jumping in, brother. You got to have some etiquette, brother. Now, let me say something now. I never, they personally haven't done anything to me, right? But I don't like what they, we see when I see another black person dying, like the Trayvon thing, that brought a tear to me. You understand? You know, when I saw the black woman get punched in her face last year and I saw people putting that on YouTube like it's a joke, I'm looking, she looks like someone in my family. So I'm thinking, what, is that how you had men videotaping that shit? You understand? So what I'm trying to say, when these Negroes, these insincere Negroes, and I can see what they're trying to do from early, because I deal with the teachings of the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad, so he taught me how to cite these house niggas and these people are working for the best interest of the devil. Right, and I see our people are genuine around there crying, and these niggas are just up there speeching and making money and prancing around, got their big TV station and just pushing it to make money. But hold on. But how come these brothers don't say nothing when it's black on black? Because there ain't no damn money in it. They're only out there when there's money in it. People were marching in the UK for Trayvon, people were going to the West End to go and march for Trayvon. People asked me to go. I said, nah, because ain't nothing going to happen. I don't like begging. They got niggas in America begging this white man still. And you have had longer, you lot have been under this devil for longer, you know, for a time in a system together. Hold on, brother. Let me finish. You lot have been under the devil side by side with him for longer than any other black people on this planet.
I don't really know that. You don't know black America very well. I don't think you have a grasp of what black America is all about. Black America, I think this is where militancy started, man. This is where it all started.
Brother, I know. I can tell that you're older than me. I can tell that.
You mentioned Trayvon Martin. What did you want black people to do in that situation?
What do I want black folks to do? What do I want? You should have cut his neck off.
So, come on, see, I mean, if you're going to be serious and basically have an intelligent conversation, then we could talk. If you're going to talk bullshit, man, come on.
That's what I'm saying. He wants them to go and kill him because of this, which is, like I said, not respecting human life, but then you want them to respect the life of each other. That's not going to work.
Can I tell you my other problem with the whole thing? Then his parents had the nerve to say it weren't about black and white. It weren't racist. She said that? Is that what
you're
saying?
I don't agree with that. And the bottom line is we're all grieving over Trayvon Martin. You know, we're grieving all these kids that get killed out in the street every day with gang violence and whatnot. But the bottom line, we have a situation in black America, and we don't really have a real solution, because the situation you see in black America is basically been brewing for like a couple of generations. So
you know what? Hold on. Wait a minute. There are plenty of solutions. It's just which ones you want to go ahead and ride with. That's it. There are a lot of solutions.
Rob, give me a solution on how to solve this problem right now.
Oh, well, shit, you know, you take it upon yourself and go ahead and start whooping some ass.
Let me give you a solution.
Hold on. But it can go ahead and resolve some issues. And you can go ahead. You're not going to get everybody to agree. So you got to go ahead. What it is, it's like this. Some people going to agree. Some people not going to agree. That's it. There are a lot of solutions, but it's which one is going to go ahead and which one is going to fit where you with that community.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but the problem that you see in black America, the unemployment, the crime, and all the stuff like that, the poverty, the topic of the show and everything like that, how do
you got
basically...
to get them something for their money, okay? You can't keep going in promising them a bunch of bullshit and don't deliver.
I think people need to focus on personal solutions rather than trying to put one big band-aid over the whole sore. They need to focus on personal solutions. And a lot of things that people can do personally is, if you have kids, be responsible for your kids.
Right.
Especially when
that's
it comes to their education. You
know.
Need to be responsible for their education and stop giving the right to educate your kids to the same people that's poisoning your kids against you. That's the number one personal solution that we as black people all need to take.
We're always looking for a Messiah to come and do like that. The person that influenced me to work most of my life was my father, my grandfather, my uncles, all these people in my family that basically put their foot up my ass when I got out of line. You know, we don't have that no more in black America, you know.
So how do you bring that back?
That is right. Exactly what you just said.
Well, the bottom line is, how do you bring that back in black America? One, Rob, this is a thing. We have to basically understand, for all this work, man, everything like that, nobody wants to talk about this. When we were basically black people were getting married at 18, 19, and having families and stayed in the same thing, and black men didn't go out there and doing all the stuff like that, and they came home and worked with their wife. Now, we do not have delinquency. We do not have all this stuff in black America right now. You know, we have all these kids being raised by single mothers and whatnot, with no males, and men unemployed, and the fathers in jail and stuff like that. We had men in the homes and men in the community. They gave women jobs. They came in there with the feminists. We know all the conspiracy. They came in there with the feminists, took the women out the home, created welfare, all these things in the inner city and the poor communities and everything like that. And now this is the after result of drugs, crack, a whole culture that creates a sanctuary. This is the most important thing. Listen to this. When you create a sanctuary for degradation, that's the worst thing. When you create a safe haven for that stuff like that, that's why on our radio show, not that we're calling anything like that, when somebody tries to put that, no, that's garbage. No, man. So when people listen to my show or listen to your show, whoever's show that want to join me in this, when they listen to my show, no, it ain't okay what Lil Wayne's saying. No, it ain't okay with what Jay-Z is saying. It ain't okay with Chief Keef was saying. No, it ain't okay. Well, you both listen to your radio. But when you listen to the voice of the Call Nation, I'm going to tell you how stupid you are. I'm going to tell you how ignorant you are. I'm going to tell you to pull your pants up. I'm going to tell you like it is. So, therefore, do you know how many people write me every time and say, look, Kyle, listen to your show? I got people all over the world writing me, telling me, you know something, man, your show has made such an impact on my life and everything like that, because you tell it like it is. See, when you basically compromise and everything like that, you could be more effective than Jesse Jackson all of just by standing on principles. Somebody can listen to your show and decide to enroll themselves in college, enroll to do the right thing, marry that girl that he got knocked up, you know, raise his son, do the right thing. Those are the messages we got to put up. Not just trying to solve this white devil or the devil. That ain't going to do anything for them. But create another situation where people make excuses for why they're in.
Let me say something, brother. You know, because everyone's just cutting through and jumping all over everyone, man. You have to be more civilized, yo, man. Come on. Everyone one at a time, man. Cause I've got something to say. You're like, talking over everyone. You understand? You have to be more manners. I'm probably the youngest on this line. So you have to show me, innit? Give me a chance to speak. Now, what I'm saying about the solution. Now, listen, I'm not telling black folk they should go out and start killing the white man. I do the teachings of the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So if you read the teachings of the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he says it would be stupid for us to go and fight against the devil because we're going to need better weapons than them. Plus, who are we going to seek medical attention from? The very same man. So that would be stupid. Now, it is imperative. The main fundamental teaching that will get us out of this problem that we're in right now is to know that the white man's the devil and the black man is God. And as well as that, once we know that, we know we have to separate from this devil in every way possible. Now, the only way we can go forward, we have to give them back the trichology, the technology. You understand? Because, and we have to stop buying unnecessary things and buy things that are essential.
Let me ask you worry
about
question.
Food, clothing, and
shelter. So we should stop using the internet.
No. Hey, look here. I want to go ahead and continue this conversation tomorrow, you guys. Hold on a minute, brother. Hold on a minute, bro. I would like for us to continue this conversation tomorrow. I want to go ahead and give everybody a little bit of time to go ahead and say something because, you know, I got an obligation in the morning, if y'all don't mind. Let the sister speak.
Hello?
Say something, sister. I want you to go ahead and give your thoughts and views about what direction we should be going in.
I think that solutions, everybody wants solutions. I think solutions are personal, and people need to work on what's affecting them and making them have hatred for their brother and what's stopping them from getting along with each other first before we go and try and fix a whole big problem. We need to fix little problems and focus on little problems first. And I think the main thing we need to do is stop bad-mouthing each other in public. I mean, that goes to people talking about public figures, to the men that get online and bad-mouth women because they don't like the clothes they wear. You know, this is our circle that we're in. And we like to compare ourselves to other ethnicities, but it's two things that those other ethnicities don't do. They don't badmouth each other in public, number one. And number two, they don't take orders from their oppressors. They have completely eliminated themselves from those people that put them down in a way where they're not in their community telling them what's right and wrong and how they should act, and they're on their boards or their community organizations and things like that. Those are the things, two things I think that we really need to work on. And that's it.
Thank you, sister. That was beautiful. Hey, Brother Poverty, you go ahead and go next.
All right, I was just going to say, good show. And, you know, at the end of the day, right, at the end of the day, in 2013, as I said already, the problem is in us. In 2013, and that's why I keep on banging on the house niggas daily. So every time you hear me come on Chef Rob's show, I'm going to always be banging on these house niggas daily. So people may not like what I'm saying, but like I said, I'm prepared to debate anyone on any on that subject, on these house niggas. If this brother here, Keller, wants to debate me on Al Sharpton being a house nigga, we can go. If you want to debate me on Luisha being a house nigga, we can go. And the white man's always going to be the devil. And if you want to debate me on that one as well, we can go with that. We can do it on Chef Rob's show. Any time, you just line that up, brother Chef Rob. and let me just put this man in his place. Because, you know, it's like he's coming up in there defending house niggas. That's the problem. You know,
okay.
We don't know who the enemy is in 2013. That's the problem.
Okay, brother. All right. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Brother Caleb.
I decided, man, I'm not going to stoop myself to try and debate him. He's not intellectually equipped. You know, no offense to him, but he needs to grow up a little bit more, you know. You know, for all has a debate with somebody, you know, you gotta come bring something to the table. Okay? This is all I wanna say. Either we're serious about doing something, or we're gonna sit here playing games. We spent the whole 20th century talking that same stuff that he's talking. You know, the white man, this, that, you know, thing. And ain't nobody in America getting up and talking about leaving. Ain't nobody getting up here talking about quitting their job or not because of the white man. We are basically on the internet right now. The white man is making money because we are on his internet right now. Everything we do, we flush the toilet. Somebody's stocks went up in utilities, whatever. Got investments in utilities. So everything we do in this country, whatever like that, is because we live under the infrastructure and we live under this. And we basically committed mental suicide by letting them educate our kids, by basically letting their media brainwash our people with self-hate and all this other stuff like that, worship white beauty and all this kind of stuff like that. This situation we're in. Now, until there's something, now, we can sit here and bash this person, but black America basically got to look themselves in the eyes. You want to be complaining about the leaders? The so-called leaders are a reflection of the people. Black America, we're foolish people. We do foolish things, we lie foolishly, we act foolishly, and our leaders are just basically respond accordingly. If you want black America, the day black America decides it wants better and wants to change, the leaders and the people that come, that step up, will act accordingly. There are plenty of black people out there that can lead black people to the promised land, but nobody will listen to why, because we're short-sighted, silly people. We listen to silly radicals, and we listen to silly pacifists. It's like every black America is caught in the middle, stuck between a rock and a hard place. We got crazy people on the radical side, and we got these crazy integrationists, everything kumbaya, everything kiss the white person thing coming on the other side. And if everybody else, 99% of people in the middle, stuck with this problem. Until we
okay, thanks,
say,
Brother Caleb.
This
hey,
is what we want.
Like us, we're going to have this discussion again tomorrow night. I'll be here tomorrow night, 9 central, okay?
All right.
9 Central.
9 Central. My girl, you tell me say you have something to tell me. Now you see me right now, please tell me. You can't deny my love. You can't deny my love. Sexy Italia, come sing for me.
Moment of honesty. Someone's got a thing to leave.
Make sure
I'm gonna sit right here and tell you what comes to me. If you have something to say, you should say right now. You ready?
Whoa.
You give me a feeling that I never felt before. And I deserve it, I think I deserve it. It's becoming something that
sexy Ipania, me and me tonight of the night, everything up is sealed up. My love is like work hard, we want wheel up. Tell me how you feel about me, all the deal up. Me stand up on my two foot, tell me no kneel up. You are act like so you are athletic. My love is pure Charlie. You tell me to your next man, what are the box, so what the hell you want with Charlie Black? Please tell me.
Something that's impossible to ignore.
L-A-C-K, introducing sexy Titania.